From Studio 22, you're listening to ServeCast with your host, William Lamb. ServeCast is dedicated to challenging those who have a desire to serve, lead, and make the world a better place through the love of Jesus Christ. And now, here's William.
Hey guys, welcome back to ServeCast. Everybody has a story. Now, you might remember from episode 19 when I talked about using the acronym STORY and I talked about the power of STORY. So, you have a story, I have a story. That sounds so cliche. So, in order to get through this in a better way, I invited two friends to Studio 22 today. Ginger Robinson is with me and Chris Schielich. Now, I probably didn't say Chris's last name correct, and he won't have any trouble fixing it in just a few minutes. But we'll be right back with our conversation with these folks from our friends at U-Turn Institute, and we'll talk more about the power of STORY. Hey guys, we're back. So Chris, I got it right the first time.
Yeah, you're awesome.
Aren't you impressed with me?
I'm always impressed with me.
So, you know, I guess that's pretty interesting if we can impress ourselves. I wonder if anybody else would be even interested in talking with us. But Chris, who also, you are now an employee of U-Turn Institute, but
yes,
you're
sir.
Also adjunct faculty at Lee University.
Yes, sir.
Alum of Lee University and all of the fun stuff. Yeah.
Married into it as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Good for you, man. So great possibilities for everybody around, correct?
Awesome. Yes.
That's true. Definitely. Ginger Robinson, who is my friend in the room. Ginger is also with U-Turn. Welcome, Ginger.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
We're glad you are with us.
Yes.
And you also are a Lee alum, I think, right?
I'm a Lee alum. Both parents went to Lee. Yeah. In-laws went to Lee. All brothers and sisters and in-laws, all. We're all Lee.
And kids coming.
And kids here.
Yeah, here. That's right.
Yeah,
here.
Both of my kids
wow.
are here. So
I am
Lee all the way around.
I had them at one point early in life, and so they were in my class. But,
yeah.
you know, what we do know is that, you know, a lot of other folks besides Lee University people listen to this. So just so you guys get a frame of reference, we don't often talk about it, but we're thankful. We reach now, I think Tyler told me, he's our engineer guy, and I think he told me the other day we're over 200,000 feed hits and probably close to 7,000 downloads now, and we're
That's
17
awesome.
Countries
Fantastic.
And
40 cool.
something odd states. I guess all that means is catch us on Spotify. You can get us on Spotify
yes.
now, which is really big. But our conversation today is going to frame around the idea of story, because when we talk about U-Turn Institute, the letter U, not Y-O-U, but the letter U-Turn Institute. Ginger, bring us up to speed. What in the world is U-Turn Institute? How did it get started? And a little bit about, you know, what you guys do.
Absolutely. Well, it actually began a couple of years ago. Westmore Church of God has been trying to sell their property for several years. They've purchased some property and they were looking for someone to purchase and just hadn't found anyone to purchase. There was a gentleman that came along by the name of Lynn Jones. He decided he wanted to purchase the property. And in the process of purchasing the property, he realized he and Pastor Kelvin began to talk, and they started talking about their stories and how their story was just what there was a point that they each made a U-turn in their life. And they talked about that stories. And so after he purchased the building, they began to talk about, well, we need to really promote this idea of stories. We really need to talk about stories and how it can help other people and how it can change people's lives. And so in the process of all of that, they began this U-Turn Institute, where they really want the idea of your story, number one, can help you. Revelation 12:11, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So your story not only can help you overcome everything that you've been through in your life, whatever it is, that power, Christ did his part through the blood of the Lamb, but your part then is to be an overcomer by testifying of that. And then the second component of that is when you tell your story, then that encourages someone else that they also can be an overcomer. So this idea and this concept of storytelling, and you know, I did a little bit of research a while back, and if you Google how to tell your story, there's over 2 billion hits.
Wow.
It is just the topic right now. Everybody you talk to, everybody wants to know somebody's story. And so what we are trying to do is capitalize on that. And we're wanting to help people, number one, if they need to make a U-turn in their life to Christ. We understand people can make changes in their lives, but we know the ultimate U-turn is finding Christ. And so once they have found that, or if they've come to us with it, that already found, we want to help them develop that story so that they can help others. So what we do is we have, for instance, a large event. We just recently had Russ Taff here, and he told his story. And then what we are doing is we're offering classes that are related to his story. So his story involves alcoholism and shame and trying to do the right thing but never being able to and just feeling like a failure. And so we're offering classes that are free to the community that might have to do with substance abuse.
Yeah, who's offering those classes?
The U-Turn Institute. And
obviously, I mean, this is in Cleveland, Tennessee. So for our listeners who are listening to us, you know, what we're specifically talking about is in Cleveland, Tennessee. So for any of our listeners that are close, these are just classes that are being offered at your local church?
They're offered at U-Turn Institute. Okay. So when Lynn Jones purchased this facility, it is now being used for these classes.
Okay.
And
where is that?
And it's Westmore 2412 Wolf Drive.
Okay.
And U-TurnInstitute.org has lists of our classes and our activities. And they're free to the community. And the thing that makes it different than a lot of other places that you might get a class on helping someone with substance abuse or getting over guilt and shame is everyone who facilitates our class, they are an individual who has overcome that.
Okay.
So you can help someone to overcome something when you've been it yourself. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 5, where it says, you know, thanks be to the God of all healing counsel. So when we were in a hard time, when I'm in a hard time, God has come alongside me.
Sure.
And so now I come alongside someone else to help them as he has helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's this context of storytelling to not overcome, but also to be an encouragement to someone else to overcome.
Okay.
And I think that may be the part that we've missed in some regards. That part's really important to help others.
Cool.
So
now, Chris, you're kind of new at U-Turn, but you're involved in some development with young people in particular. You know, while we know that your conversation today is obviously going to be geared toward people that might be able to be reached through the local, you know, I want to make sure that we also understand that much of what we're talking about is to encourage people to find a like organization or in this instance. A like ministry center or someone in their location that might be able to help them. So, talk to us about young people. I mean, you're an adjunct professor at Lee. You know, kids like you, students like you. You know, people like you. So, talk to us a little bit about your role in helping people in teenagers or college students or whatever.
Yeah, well, I appreciate those words of affirmation, man. It's one of the things I knew from when I eventually got my life kind of oriented right when I was about 16 or 17 years old, I started realizing that there was a passion in me to work with youth and work with adolescents. And so I came to Lee because I wanted to get a degree in youth ministry. And then I fell in love with theology and I stayed and I got a master's in theology. And we then went on for about a year and a half and did some ministry as youth pastors. And after that, we returned back to Cleveland to invest again in our community. And so I've done everything from, and this isn't like to brag or anything, it's just I've worked with students when they were children. In fact, some of my students I worked with at Westmore, the first students I worked with are graduating Lee University in like just a few weeks.
Yeah, you're getting old.
Yeah. The reality is
it
hit.
Happens.
The knees hurt, and now all of a sudden I'm like, funny. Oh man, they're all starting to graduate.
That's funny.
And they've done amazing things. I'm super proud of them.
Yeah.
What's really come to light, I guess, in my own life recently is while I've been working with these students at Lee, I still have a real passion for adolescents. And so one day I was reading Wendell Berry. I don't know if you've ever read anything by him. He's an awesome kind of cultural critic and agrarian kind of storyteller. And so not only does he have his own fiction, but he also has his cultural critique. And one of his books was Our Only World. And in this book, what he highlighted was I was reading it and he was highlighting how our society is so industrial nowadays. One thing we do is we run, right? So like, oh, I'm running late for class. Oh, is the computer running? Is our government running in the midst of a shutdown? It wasn't running, right? And so I'm running for the presidency. People use a lot of running terms, but he says in the heart of it all, there's something about the narrative of walking, that a farmer doesn't run their land. Instead, to evaluate their land, they walk it. Mm-hmm. And so I went back to the Greek that I learned with Dr. Donald Battle, God rest his soul. And I touched on this idea of what does it mean to walk? And the Greek would be peripateo. Mm-hmm. And so what you're talking about is the path that you're going to walk down, the life orientation you're going to walk down. And so this is why, you know, order the steps, ordering my steps, Lord, and that his word is a lamp unto our feet. When you talk about all this Christian imagery, it talks a lot about path. And so we're developing a youth mentorship program called PATH, Providing Adolescents Training and Help. And what this will hopefully do is this summer we're going to target 50 middle schoolers in our area who are struggling or at risk. We'll begin to work with them, equipping them over the course of a week. We're going to be the point person, but we're also partnering with local organizations like ATS The Bridge, which seeks to address the opioid crisis in our current situation, as well as On Point, which is a phenomenal organization out of Hamilton County that works with relationships. Mm-hmm. And we're also partnering with other organizations in our immediate area, such as CPD, Cleveland Police Department, or the Bradley County Sheriff's Department. And what we're going to do is we're going to equip these students with the mindset and the reliable sources so that they can live a life that is more fruit-bearing and fruitful than what it previously was.
Okay.
At about sixth grade on, 80% of our juvenile crime here in Bradley County is sixth graders and beyond. So if we can target middle schoolers, we really think that this is a point of change.
Let me ask a question to you guys, because I'm sitting here listening to you talking about, you know, your reach to students, and
yeah,
your founder, you know, Lynn, talks about the chaos that hit his life as an adult, not as a child. Now, it began as a child, obviously, but came to explosion, I suppose is a good term for that, you know, when he was much older. Mm-hmm. And so, Ginger, is there a difference between how adults, our children, should look at stories or approach stories? And is there a difference between how we as caregivers should help people unpack stories that might be in different age groups or categories? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's interesting that, and Lynn Jones' story is an amazing, the formative years really had an impact. And then, like you said, later on in his life, everything came to blows when he made his big U-turn. But I think storytelling, if somehow we could begin to teach young people that their story is already starting, that their story, it's already being built, and and you're going along that path of building that story. And even though they may not get it at that point, it really is a part. And so I think building that story is one thing that's really important with them. But I think from the other perspective, there's a concept that is just coming alive to me, and it's about Moses. And if you look at the story of Moses, you know, his life is built in three different sections, the 40, the 40, the 40.
Sure.
And, you know, you look at the first 40 years of his life, that's that adolescent story. And that's, you know, when he's really technically, in our terms today, some people might think he was abandoned by his parents or he was taken from his parents. And we look at a lot of young people that start out and go into troubled life. Their formative years are really difficult like that. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the second 40 years of his life after he's committed murder and he runs away from it all. And so you begin to look at his story and you see a lot of what caused him later on in life which is the majority of what we know about him, is the last 40 years of his life. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting because if you look in Scripture, Exodus chapter 1 and chapter 2 covers the first 80 years of his life. Mm-hmm. And that's all you know about him in the first 80 years is those two chapters. And then when he makes the U-turn in his life, he has all of these 40 years left. But we go from Exodus chapter 3 all the way through to the end of Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Mm-hmm. We go through. That's where we hear about how the power of his life. And that's where we remember the impact of his story. And so when we talk about unpacking stories with older folks, mm-hmm. a lot of times they want to not ever talk about the things in the past. I think it's very important to talk about them. But if you take Moses as an example and you say, you know what, all of those things really did get you to that point of mm-hmm. U-turn. Mm-hmm. And they're really important because where did Moses learn how to be a leader? Mm-hmm. He learned it in the first chapter. Mm-hmm. But that's all we know about it. We don't know the depths of it. So I think when we start teaching people how to unpack their story, I think it's really important to say, we touch on those important things. We don't have to have all the gory details of your life and mm-hmm. all the painful experiences of it. But I think it is important that we note that. But now let's focus on when that U-turn happened in your life. What has transpired in your life since that time? And how has God used your early ages of story mm-hmm. in order to impact your future life?
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're going to unpack your story, if that's okay with you. A amazing story of loss, recovery, and God's wonderful grace. We'll be right back. All right, Ginger, so we've been talking about story, and Chris, I really appreciate, you know, your energy to dig into a way to make stories very personal for teenagers, you know, and I think that any of our listeners, even if you're not in our geographic location, you know, I think what you heard from the earlier conversation was make a point to make space for teenagers to be able to discover, you know, that God does love them. You're a mom of two girls yes. that are now college students who were teenagers at a very difficult time in your life. All right, Ginger, so take a couple of minutes. Bring us up to speed on you were married, and unfortunately, you know, it's not my story, and I'm going to let you tell it. How's that?
That'll be fine. So I came to Lee and met my husband, and we dated for 7 years, sometimes really on and sometimes really off.
Is that like a biblical number or something?
I don't think it was biblical. No, the number of completion, the number of until he finally realized that that's what he needed to do. That was that magic number. And we joke a lot about that. But I think that also just goes to God's timing in everything, you know. Yeah. And so we graduated and went and began planting church. We planted a church and we pastored there 12 years. And then we went to another church in Bethalto, Illinois, and we pastored there 10 years. And in the eighth year of our pastorate, we had quite a traumatic experience. We were on vacation and Jeremy got very sick. We went to an emergency room. We thought he had a kidney stone. And so we were going to get that thing taken care of. And we were just going to continue on our trip. And, the doctor sent us home immediately and told us that he had a very large mass on his kidney. And so when we got back to the airport in our hometown, we jumped on the train. And at that moment when we jumped on the train, Jeremy collapsed and into my arms, actually. Mm-hmm. And it was an unbelievable moment. And you were talking about my two girls, one was on one end of the train and one was actually on the other end of that particular car. And so he collapsed and we were able to get to an emergency room and found out that the tumor on his kidney had separated into three different parts, gone up through his veins and had gone through his heart. One landed in each lung and one lodged in his heart. And really, technically, he should have died at that moment. One was the size of a golf ball, to give you an idea. It was just massive. And so, but the Lord spared him. And we went through emergency surgeries and everything. And they thought they had all the cancer. And that was July 5th is when we went to the emergency room. And July 9th, he had that surgery. And so we were thanking the Lord. And as a matter of fact, he was out of the hospital in less than a week. And in 2 or 3 months, he was back preaching. And we were just so excited. But he began to, we realized that the cancer had come back. And within 18 months of that first experience, he had passed away. And it was quite a traumatic experience. And I found myself with two girls. One was 14, one was 16. And there we were, and I had been a pastor's wife my whole life, and we had to make some major decisions in our life. And I like to talk about, even though a lot of people make U-turns, mine was more like a detour that happened. I was following the Lord, and I was serving the Lord. It wasn't that I was off the wrong way.
Sure.
But sometimes, and I talk about this, sometimes life happens to you that changes your course, not because you've done something wrong, but just because life happens. And that's what happened to us. And so we found ourselves on a detour, you know, and,
but if you're on a detour and you can't get focus, couldn't that require a turnaround at some point?
It could. That is
so
true.
So how did you get to the place where this didn't, or did it sideline you? You know, I mean, obviously you're sitting here today and you're using your story to touch other people's stories, you know, or touch other people's lives. How did you get through this without really getting to the place that you were hitting a dead end? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think one of the ways that that happened was the Lord, I think, has a way of preparing you when you don't even realize that he's preparing you. So before my husband even got sick, I was teaching a Bible study, and that Bible study was Beth Moore's So Long in Security. And so I made the statement repeatedly to the folks, to the ladies in my class. I said, listen, my security cannot be in the fact that I'm Jeremy Robinson's wife. My security cannot be in the fact that I'm a pastor's wife. My security has to be found in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And little did I know that at that time, the Lord was just preparing me because those statements would come to pass.
Right.
And I think one of the things that we have to remember that God is everything he said he will be if we allow him to be. So in the midst of this crisis, rather than running from him, I ran closer to him. Mm-hmm. Rather than, we had questions. Still do to this day. There are some questions that we're not going to know, you know, until we're in heaven. But I think drawing closer to the Lord, that sounds so pat, but it really is so true. And believing in him. One of the things I discovered is I've always had faith, but there's a difference between faith and trust.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I began to discover that faith is believing God can do anything, mm-hmm. but trust is believing he will do what's best for me.
Well, let's dig into that for just a minute, okay? Because, you know, obviously going back to your founder, Lynn Jones, and in any other number of stories, and man, I kind of almost celebrate with you, Chris, that, you know, come fall this year, you guys will have 50 stories that you'll be able to see of those kids whose lives were changed,
right?
So let's dig into this for just a minute. How you said you dug close to God or dug in with God, right? And what does that look like? What does it mean you dug in close with God, right? So you tell us that. That's a cliche.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Me and God, you know, we got along, man. This thing was great, right? What does that mean, Ginger? What does that look like?
This is really funny. To me, it's funny.
Yeah.
But this is absolutely what you're saying. And that is, I just was led to that really famous scripture, you know, where you run and don't grow weary.
Sure.
Right? And so I was contemplating that, and I just felt in my spirit, it was like this urging, you need to start running. And I was like, okay, that's hilarious. I hate to run.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, and I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's so silly. I'm going to run and not grow weary. Okay, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in you, whatever. Anyway, it wouldn't let go.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually I began to run.
Mm-hmm.
And I would actually go out. And what I realized was the Lord was leading me to that because that was the only time that I had in caring for him, in all the situations that we had, that he wanted to talk to me during that time. And my my neighborhood actually became my sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And it was the time, and had I not listened to that voice, so I mean, talking practical terms, it was like literally go run.
Sure.
And it was like, oh, what? Mm-hmm. But the reason why he was leading me to that is because he was leading me to intimacy with him. He was leading me to a time where every day I could be with him by myself. And it almost became like an infusion for me, mm-hmm. that if I didn't have that, and faithfully, I mean faithfully, it didn't matter what the temperature was, it didn't matter how cold it was, how hot it was, if it was raining, I had to have that time with him. And I realized that that time with him is what got me through every single day. That's what I mean. I've grown up in the church. I've known the Lord sure. my whole life.
Yeah.
But an intimacy that I developed with him of really every single day needing that moment.
And that, like these kinds of stories, like hear this story of a sincere going through the tragedy of loss,
oh, yeah.
going through the difficult situations. And yet we just need a simple reminder of Ginger just to say, hey, this is what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Would you care to listen? Mm-hmm. And while we want to tell, I feel like a lot of times when we talk about story, we want to equip others to share their story, mm-hmm. but there's also a receptivity of it. Like I need to hear Ginger's story. You need to hear Ginger's mm-hmm. stories. So it's not just that we want to equip people to, in fact, share their stories, but we also want to be able to equip them to hear other people's stories. Mm-hmm. I think that's just the other side of the coin that we have to make sure that we mention as well, mm-hmm. you know? It's just so impactful. I just, you know, we sit here and I know we've shared stories and we've talked before, but these are things that are just, it's reoccurring to me constantly that God is so good.
Mm-hmm.
And when he is not good to me, he is still good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I need to learn that.
So why is it difficult for people? Because, you know, we see it all the time, right? And it seems like a lot of times people have a difficulty opening up. They have a difficulty being honest. You know, they have difficulty admitting, you know, the challenges. So what are some ways that people can, you guys are in the business of storytelling, right? So
yeah.
What's some ways that people can, as you said earlier, Ginger, trust, you know, and be willing to share their stories?
Well, I think this is interesting because Russ Taff was just with us this
sure.
weekend, and he was really a hidden alcoholic while mm-hmm. he was in ministry.
Right.
Because he was ashamed to come forward with it. He was afraid to get help because one of the reasons what you're saying is people do not know how others will respond to them.
Right.
And especially, unfortunately, in the Christian world, because we know what's right. And so when someone comes under what's right, they fall short of that, we have a tendency to feel like we're going to be judged for that. And so one of the things he really brought out, and I think so important, is we have to create a culture of acceptance, love, and forgiveness. And again, that's something we've heard a very long time, but we have to be able to say, you know what, that's your story. And again, to my point a few minutes ago, we don't have to know every little detail.
Right.
You don't have to go through every little bit of your story with everyone. But just saying, you know what? I was fallen and I made a huge error in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I need someone to come alongside me. That's that coming alongside
right.
of me and say, you know what? I fell too. Mm-hmm. And I have made it and you can make it too. And I'm going to walk this journey with you. All the way. I'm not going to throw you to the dogs to mm-hmm. be eaten, but I'm going to walk this journey. But finding that is really difficult. And also the point of the enemy likes to keep us hidden and
sure.
keep us in secret. I mean, that goes all the way back to the garden with yeah. Adam and Eve, if they could hide. And so he wants to keep us hidden. So the longer you hide your secret, the longer you're going to be in bondage to mm-hmm. that secret. But mm-hmm. the moment that you can stand up and say, you know what? I sinned. I messed up. Maybe it wasn't even a sin. Maybe it was just something that you didn't make a wise choice on.
Right.
You know, maybe you detoured and didn't have to have a U-turn. But those are the kinds of things that we can come out and say, yes, but God
right.
is good and he has forgiven me. And
right.
and so I think that's one of the reasons why we don't
okay.
is because we're afraid and we're ashamed of being judged.
Okay.
There's some aspect, I think, that we have to realize we've got to be missional, even in how we listen and even in how we talk. Mm-hmm. And if we're really being missional, then what we have to do is we have to think, all right, you belong. You mm-hmm. belong in the room to hear the story. Mm-hmm. You belong in the conversation. I mean, when I was in Res Life, oh Lord, like you want to talk about stories? Mm-hmm. Like they're essential. That's how a dorm operates. A dorm operates by people opening up their doors, mm-hmm. by being able to invite someone in to share a cup of coffee, to be able to, I mean, I think this goes back to hospitality, right? Mm-hmm. So you open your doors so that people belong. And then as they start to hear these stories, they allow them to believe. It's actually this cognitive process, this maybe you would even say a spiritual process of believing. And then as you incorporate these stories more so and more so into who you are, you're going to be becoming, right? So I am becoming a better person as I hear people's stories. I am becoming a better father as I share stories with my little 3-year-old daughter. She might not be able to understand everything, but Sophia is going to hear the stories of the faith. Mm-hmm. She's going to hear stories about her great-grandfather and her great-grandmother that she might never meet because they've passed away or they live so far away, but she's going to start to hear these stories. She's mm-hmm. going to start to hear these stories.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really good that you bring out, you know, being a young father or a father of a young child, right?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Not necessarily a young father, but the father of a young child. Hey, I'm a grandpa. Mm-hmm. I'm a papa now, you know?
Yeah.
And so I understand that whole idea of, you know, lingering stories and the power of stories. So, all right. We're going to close this segment and be right back in just a minute to finish up our final segment on this episode today. But, any suggestions for moms or dads or parents, you know, who experience loss, but also there's a bit of a challenge with now, you know, being a single parent, right?
Sure.
Whose kids are in college. Any closing thoughts on how that, families can begin to revisit the power of story for healing among their own family? Does that make sense? You know, your two girls were at two ends of the train. They lost a dad. You lost a husband. You know, how did the three of you blend your individual stories to bring wholeness to your brokenness?
Well, I think it's important to realize that everyone's story is different, even though the subject of the story is the same. So I think that's really important. We all grieve differently. Mm-hmm. So we have to allow each other to have our own stories. Wow. And that's so important, because one of the things that someone told me is let your children cope the way that they normally mm-hmm. cope. If you have had a loss and I think even a trauma, and a child begins to act differently than they mm-hmm. normally would cope, then that's something to be aware of. But I think it's really the importance of, and we tell stories all the time. As a matter of fact, I've suggested to some families, because I now teach a grief share class.
Awesome.
And so I can sit there, and I think one of the reasons why people don't want to tell stories is they don't want to go through the pain again.
Wow.
But as you begin to tell your story, it goes from sorrow to joy. So when I tell the stories about Jeremy, it's not with tears, it's with smiles, because I'm grateful for every year that I had with him, for every moment that I had with him, for every story that I had with him. So sometimes I suggest to families, get a journal, put it in the middle of your dining room, and as someone thinks of a story, just go write that story in the journal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a conversation in the family. Just write it in there.
Oh,
and so over time, you don't forget the stories. Oh, you remember that one time? Oh, I had completely forgotten about that. Mm-hmm. Let's write that down. Mm-hmm. And if that's written down, then the story goes on. My grandchildren will never know Jeremy. Mm-hmm. But if we will keep those stories alive, then they will begin to hear them.
Yeah.
And not just the fun stories, but the stories of the faith, the stories mm-hmm. of how he planted the church, how he did this. Oh, you act like your grandfather? Well, that's because this is what he did.
Yeah.
And they already know that.
Yeah.
So I think allowing everyone to have their own story, mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be one story.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has their own stories, and continue to tell them. Don't be afraid to tell them.
Great. We'll be right back, and we're going to delve into a story about a lady named Abby Johnson. Is that correct?
Abby Johnson.
We'll talk about that movie, Unplanned. Hey, thanks for staying with us on Surfcast, and it's been a good whirlwind two segments, and we're in our third segment and our final segment of this episode. So, Chris and Ginger, and we're delighted you guys are still with us. Now, Abby Johnson, there was a movie that came out recently, and this movie was titled Unplanned, and it's the story of Abby Johnson, who at one point in her life was the youngest clinical director for Planned Parenthood and had a dramatic U-turn in her own life. And as a result of that, is now an extremely effective anti-abortion kind of activist, right? So you guys recently participated in this movie. I think it's the third week of the movie. Maybe I don't know what week this is going to air, so I'm not sure. But tell us about why you guys at U-Turn Institute are supporting the work of Unplanned in the future as we try to get a hold of more people that need to experience a U-turn in their own life. Make sense?
Absolutely. Well, the way that this came about, Abby Johnson is an incredible story. And that's the reason why it really got our attention, because we are looking for people who will tell stories of dramatic U-turns. And mm-hmm. hers is dramatic in every sense. She was the youngest Planned Parenthood director and at the time, and she had been very active in Planned Parenthood for 8 years. And at that time, she actually witnessed for the first time a sonogram abortion. And so in that sonogram abortion, she had gone through all the training, and she was already starting to have a little bit of question about Planned Parenthood, because they were trying to say, you know, up the number of abortions. And she was raised in a pro-life home.
Wow.
She was raised to love God, and she still attended church while being a director mm-hmm. of Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. And she said, but during this particular abortion procedure, it just all came to life when she saw that baby trying to get away from the vacuum. And then all of a sudden the baby was gone.
Wow.
And it just dramatically affected her. She left that abortion and within a week was actually gone from Planned Parenthood. They put a gag order on her, tried to get her to not speak, but she is indeed. And if you go to her website, Abby Johnson, if you go to her website, she says, I'm pro-life, pro-love, pro-woman, pro-child. And that's what she's about. And what a dramatic turn that she had. The reason why we got involved in this, of course, we're looking for a good story. We are pro-life 100%.
Sure.
We're pro-child, as she mm-hmm. says, 100%. But the reason why it caught our attention was because of this dramatic U-turn in her life. And so it just so happened the day that New York passed their bill and, you know, lit up the Empire State Building,
right.
When they lit that up, I happened to have a woman in my office, and we were talking about her abortion.
Wow.
And how she said, I have had an abortion, and I would love to help other women who've had abortions mm-hmm. to recover. So as we began to talk, I thought to myself, I had heard Abby Johnson speak, and I thought, you know what? I would just be interested in seeing more about her story. So I was just looking it up, came across the fact that she had written a book about her story called Unplanned, wrote that book about the story, and then the movie was just in the process of being released, or within a couple of months of being released. So I went in and to our group, our team, and I said, hey, this is a story that needs to be told, and can we do something about it? In our previous pastorates, we had done where we rented the theaters
sure.
before. And so I was like, maybe we could do that here. And so that's how we got involved mm-hmm. with this movie. We rented out a local theater, 255 seats. We gave those tickets away. We became active at Lee. We asked for three clubs to help us sponsor
yeah.
it so that we could get students at Lee to become aware of this.
And they were awesome.
They were awesome.
They were awesome.
And we ended up having probably close to 40 Lee students mm-hmm. there. And what was so neat about who was there, it was a wide range of ages, a lot of diversity of nationality. It was just a great thing for these people to see this story. And it's such a powerful story. And we were like, we have to get involved in this
sure.
because this, not only is it a great story, but it is timely, I think, in the kingdom of God of mm-hmm. what's going on and what's going on in our country right now with this conversation and really this debate that's going on.
Sure. So what did you see from the interaction with both the students as well as perhaps the community that came and participated in watching this movie?
Yeah. So our goal was to do a few things. Number one, to raise awareness, but number two, to offer and maintain that we're offering services, not necessarily through us, but local agencies in town who offer amazing just opportunities and services mm-hmm. to those who have need. And so what we did is we reached out to New Hope Pregnancy Center, Foundation House, and Bethany Christian Services mm-hmm. out of Chattanooga, which is a national or actually international organization. And so we reached out with these three different groups, and they contacted us and they said, yeah, we're all on board. We would love to help out. I found, though, that not only in getting them to provide information, but we sit down and people didn't know necessarily that we were going to be highlighting everyone that we did at the end, all these organizations. But I mean, from the moment the movie started, I've been a part of services and organizing services and things. I've never done a movie in a theater before, so I was not ready for this. But so we put a Spotify playlist on. We've rented the theater. We do prayer. We talk about who we are, and then we start the show. And I tell you, the craziest thing happened. We're in a room, and I mean, this is a story, right? So let me share this story. We're in the room. And very early on, the more graphic scenes of the abortion are there, and while it is a sonogram machine, it carries a different weight, because I guess you watch a war movie, you watch an action movie, and sure. Violence just kind of goes away. But this was a little bit more sincere, and so we're sitting here and we're watching this, and we had some amazing women from the Hope House come down to visit with us as well, and two babies started crying. And so you're in this room and it's pitch black and you're watching this movie, and it's as if the voice of children just start filling the room, and it gets, I was overwhelmed by it. And so not only do we have that, we go through the movie and we see her change, and we see Abby Johnson's development as a woman and as a Christian and as just an activist. And so we get to the end, and these three amazing organizations take the stage up front. And they just say, anything that you need, we are here. Mm-hmm. Bethany Christian Services assists with adoption and assists with temporary fostering of children. Mm-hmm. New Hope Pregnancy Center offers free prayer. They help out with pregnancy tests and with ultrasounds, I do believe, as well, as well as guiding people through pregnancies mm-hmm. should they need it. And Foundation Helps is right down the road. It's actually right off our downtown area in Cleveland. And what they do is they highlight and they assist with crisis pregnancies. Mm-hmm. So if you have a crisis pregnancy, they're going to help you out with housing as much as they can. And they're going to help you out with employment as much as they can. And they're going to help you out with keeping maybe together with the father if that's in the best interest. And all these amazing things. And so the weight of children crying in a room, the weight of a movie which grips your heart, and then the Christian response, a lot of people want to fight back and forth about, well, what does it mean to be pro-life? I saw people take responsibility mm-hmm. and it was moving. It was moving. And so it really promoted conversation, especially in lieu of what was happening here. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. There were some other conversations happening around mm-hmm. campus, and, mm-hmm. and I felt proud to take a stand the way that we did. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it was an amazing evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what was really neat is kind of going back to what we talked about before, why people don't want to share their stories. There's right. a lot of shame with abortion.
Sure.
There's a lot of grief. It's such a complicated and difficult topic. And so it's so personal. It's so intimate. And so to begin that conversation that I had the opportunity to have with people who came to me and said, I want to talk to you about this. And I think that is what's really powerful about this, being able to get that story out there so it becomes a conversation. Mm-hmm. So people, and Abby Johnson had two abortions herself.
Wow.
And as the director, she personally feels the weight of 22,000 abortions while she was at that Planned Parenthood. And yet she knows the forgiveness and love of God in such a way that she is going out there and saying, you know what, if God can change my life around, he can change your life around. If he can forgive me for 22,000, mm-hmm. he can forgive you for one. and you can get your life turned around.
Right. So I understand you're bringing her back to, you're bringing her to Cleveland, Tennessee. Is that correct?
Super excited. Okay. Yes.
Definitely.
We already
yes.
have her booked for September 30th. She's coming to Cleveland. She's going to share her story. And I'll tell you what we're really excited about is we're putting together a group of agencies where we are going to be offering classes on fostering, because part of the issue is people don't want to have children because they're afraid they're not going to be able to take care of them or they get in bad situations. So fostering, adoption, if you're interested in either one of those, we're going to offer classes on that. Miscarriage is also a really difficult topic with abortions,
right.
because a lot of people have miscarriages because they've had abortions.
Right.
So we're going to offer classes on miscarriages, on infertility. Mm-hmm. We're going to offer classes all around this topic, single parenting, mm-hmm. because if you choose to keep that child, then who's going to help you understand how to be a single parent? And so we are super excited. We're just in the formative stages of what this is going to be like, but we are so excited Good. About the possibilities with this.
And we even have a class currently being offered
yes.
in our current segment of classes, which lasts about 6 weeks for abortion recovery. And we have someone who's willing to lead that class and, mm-hmm. and journey through that struggle mm-hmm. with these individuals. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I think we're reminding ourselves that people belong. Yeah. And if we can open up our doors and give them a place to belong, that's mm-hmm. that's our goal.
Guys, this has been a great time together. And we're nearing the end of this particular episode. So closing thoughts that you think you might share to encourage a listener today that... maybe an organizational lead that wants to figure out how to collaborate, maybe a particular person who is in the need of a U-turn, maybe a person who has made a U-turn but feels so alone because it's a different feeling than even though the previous feeling was painful, they had become accustomed to the pain. So now the pain is very difficult for them and it's different. So closing thoughts, and we'll start with you, Chris, and then we'll come back to you in just a minute, Ginger.
I think if I just had to give, I guess, a nugget that yeah. people could carry out with, it was just, it's realizing that some people are going to offer their personal story mm-hmm. in a variety of different ways. One thing that I've had to learn as an adjunct prof is just when a student says, oh, hey, this is going on, I'm sorry, or they need to turn something late, there's always a story behind it. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that we have to do is we just have to have a responsibility as individuals to stop and say, you know, our world right now is captivated by stories. Mm-hmm. This is why, for example, I think superhero stories have become so popular again, mm-hmm. because people want stories to believe in. We've got to kind of take a stand and be willing to be receptive to other people's stories and not be so hostile towards mm-hmm. them. There's something really powerful about just listening. Mm-hmm. And I would really encourage others out there just to start the process of listening.
Okay, good.
I would just say, if someone is struggling, take the chance. Mm-hmm. Take the chance to tell your story. Find someone who will listen, like Chris is saying, and take the chance to tell the story, because your freedom very much may be wrapped up in that releasing yourself of telling that story. So I would say that, number one. I would say also, because you overcome by the word of your testimony. But I would also say, if you are interested in this kind of a concept, maybe you're a church person and you're like, man, how could we make this happen for us? Just begin by offering opportunities for people to tell stories in your
yeah.
church. So, you know, years ago we had testimony services. so maybe we don't have them the old way, but maybe instead what you do is you just have, can we have a testimony? And then can we bring someone alongside that other person? And so I think that's really the way that you can do that. You don't have to have U-Turn Institute. You have a story, tell your story, come alongside someone else and see what God can do with that. Mm.
But if somebody wants to connect with our local U-Turn Institute,
yes.
how do they do that?
U-turninstitute.org. They can look us up online, or they can give us a call, 423-813-3300.
Give us that number one more time.
423-813-3300.
Great. Hey guys, as always on Servcast, I want to remind you that you are made for more. You have just heard a great conversation, I think a great conversation, between a couple of folks that are very intentional about helping people to identify their own story in their own life so that they can make that story available to make an impact in someone else's life. And we want to encourage you to find someone in your community. I also want to encourage you to take a minute after this episode ends and listen to this Liu worship song as it helps you to reflect on this moment that you might be in your own life. Until next time, have a great day.
That overwhelm my very soul, but still. Forevermore, I am yours.
for listening to this episode of ServeCast. The thoughts and opinions expressed on ServeCast are those of William Lamb, his guest, and no one else. Until next time, this is ServeCast, signing off from Studio 22.